Some of these I'll be asking you to turn with me to the location of those passages. And some we're going to have to conserve time, so you might have a pen and a piece of paper handy. And I encourage you to take notes on this message today. And it will be helpful if you'll do that. Would appreciate it. Job 9, verses 1 through 10. You know, we think of our Lord Jesus Christ in many areas. Perhaps the most predominant is that He is our Savior. Christ Jesus is our Savior. But He's also a friend of sinners. I want us to depart from that area of our Lord's person and talk to you this morning and speak to you this morning about the fact that Jesus Christ is not only our Savior and our friend, He is our Creator. He is our Creator. Job chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one in a thousand. Speaking of God, Job continues, He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains, and they know not. Which overturneth them in his anger. Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Which commanded the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. And one other one in Job 26, if you take a moment to turn there, Job 26, verse number 7. Job 26, verse number 7. That verse says this, speaking of our Creator, He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. The important thing is not that the earth was suspended upon nothing, but that somebody did it. Somebody did it. Somebody hung it there. Question is, who did it? The universe and planet Earth have always been a mystery. What is the universe? We use that terminology many times. What are we talking about when we speak in regards to the universe? It is the totality of everything that exists, has existed, or ever will exist. It includes all of space-time. It includes the entire contents of outer space, all matter and energy, dark matter and dark energy. It includes all galaxies and stars and planets, all humans and every living thing. It includes all molecules and atoms, subatomic particles and photons and their wave dualities. It involves all physical constants, physical laws, and fundamental interactions. Now, if all that's a little heavy for you, and you feel like your brain is getting ready to short circuit, we might do better to reduce our thinking in terms of the earth. And get off the universe. What is the earth? That planet upon which we live. What is it? The earth upon which we live is called a planet. It is one of nine planets that travel around our sun, which is located 93 million miles from the earth. It helps us understand how small the earth really is when we know that 1 million earths could be packed like tiny marbles into a hollow ball the size of the sun. And some of the stars are so big that 1 million times 1 million earths could easily fit inside of them. The fundamental units of the universe are the stars. The stars form in clusters called galaxies. We live in a galaxy called the Milky Way. There are many galaxies in the universe as there are many stars in the Milky Way. All of these galaxies together form a part of what some astronomers call a super universe. Its dimensions are impossible for the human mind to comprehend, and it measures thousands of millions of light years. The earth is populated by more than 6 billion humans, not one of which is exactly like another. In addition, there are billions of other kinds of existing life. And add to that the angelic world, of which there is no known number. Now, folk, that's a lot of stuff. Where did it all come from? What methods were employed to transport it to where it is? Many answers have been given to us. Number one, there's the Big Bang theory. In a dateless past, a giant thermal explosion occurred in space. After a long time, the smoke cleared, the particles settled, and shazam! There was an orderly universe with planets. Then there's the Gnostic theory. The Gnostics believed all materialism was sinful and that a holy God could not have been active in creation. They also did not believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate because all humanity is sinful. They believed the world was a product of emanations. They taught the universe was eternal and began to cast forth or emanate particles which became larger and larger, thus accounting for the earth. Then there is the evolution theory. It proposes that all existence and life generated from a single cell and multiplied millions of times to a system of beauty, gradually and continually improving and getting better. And then of all things, there's the Bible. The Bible fact of creation. The Bible is not a theory. It is not an opinion that belongs to man. It is a fact of truth. The scriptures teach in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. 2 Peter 3:4. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Not the beginning of evolution. Not the beginning of some explosion, but from the beginning of creation. Creation means that all things were brought into existence from nothing. And you cannot have a creation without a creator. To create the worlds, the creator would have to meet certain criterion. I mean, whoever's going to build all this is going to have to be qualified. Number one, he must be eternal. one that has no beginning and one that has no ending, one that does not become decrepit and old and useless, but lives forever and ever and ever in eternity. He must be all-powerful. Certainly, if he's going to create the heavens and the earth, he must have power to do that. He must be all-wise, or else the stars are going to bump into one another. There must be some wisdom involved in it. He must be everywhere, not one particular place at a time, but everywhere at the same time, creating. And he must be sovereign and unstoppable. The Creator is identified in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 31. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, there in the Hebrew, there are only seven words there. In beginning, God created heaven and earth. God created heaven and earth. And verse 31 says, and God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Almighty God, the name God there is the Hebrew word Elohim. God Almighty is the Creator. In Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5, listen to it. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise you him, all you angels. Praise you him, all his hosts. Praise you him, sun and moon. Praise you him, all the stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. That's why we have an earth. That's why we have an universe. That's why we have the galaxies. That's why we have the Milky Way. That's why we have the stars and all the constellations, because God commanded it and he brought it to pass. He is the Creator. Concerning Genesis chapter 1, John Phillips in his book has this to say. Quote, Genesis 1 is one of the most God-centered chapters in the Bible. The name God is used 32 times in 31 verses. Add to that the personal pronouns that refer to God, and it increases to 43 times in 31 verses. You cannot read Genesis 1 without seeing God, God, God. God said, God spoke, God did, God made, God created. That's not opinion. That's fact, and that is truth. So much for the Creator being identified. It would be God Almighty. The Creator is specified. Now listen carefully as we proceed. The Creator is specified. Jesus Christ is God. If he be not God, then there are more gods than one. There's a God that sits up in heaven, and there's a God that works down here on earth. There's a God that is called the Father, who controls all the heavenly activity, and a Son, Jesus Christ, who controls and creates things pertaining to this earth. Jesus Christ is God. Now take a moment to turn to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And verse 14, very important. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and verse 14. In the beginning, it almost starts as the book of Genesis chapter 1 does it not? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, And without him was not anything made that was made. Notice that. Nothing that exists was made that he did not make. Who? God. Now notice verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh. That speaks of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, God robed in flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For in him, Christ," and you have to read that passage because he's talking about Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to die for the sins of his people. "For in him," that is in Christ, "dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All there is of God dwells within the person and work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it is impossible for one to know God apart from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is God, robed in flesh, who came to this earth. The Bible also says that all things were created by him and for him. All things. Hebrews 1, 1 through 2 and verse 10. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds, but he did it through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, and in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Before there ever was a Bethlehem manger scene, Jesus Christ exists eternally. And he made some things in the book of Genesis, and it's called the heaven and the earth. Jesus Christ did that. The Creator, may I say, is also qualified. Qualified to do that, to be the Creator. Christ is the competent builder. That word competent means he's qualified and he's sufficient. He can do the job. Have you ever noticed anything he set his hand to, he completed? He never failed at anything he ever set himself to do. He is the competent builder. Number one, he is eternal. Now, there are some who do not believe that Jesus Christ is eternal, that he did not begin until 2,000 years ago. But the scripture is quite different. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, God in Christ appears to John on the Isle of Patmos. And this is the message of Jesus Christ to John on the Isle of Patmos. "I am Alpha and Omega." Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He is the beginning and the end and everything that is in between. "I'm Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord," and Christ is speaking here, "which is, which was, and which is to come." And he adds these two words, "the Almighty." Jesus Christ claimed to be the Almighty God because he is the Almighty God. He is eternal. The builder precedes the building. You cannot have a building without a builder. He not only drew up the plans, but created the material that he would use in providing an orderly universe. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He is all wise. In Psalm 8, verses 3 through 4 and verse 8, David said, "When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers." That's what you call heavenly embroidery. You do it with the fingers of the hands. Jesus Christ used the fingers of his hands to create the heavens and the earth. "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." Did you know that fish follow paths? And that Jesus Christ laid the paths in the waters and in the oceans through and upon which the fish would pass. That wasn't yesterday. That just didn't happen. It's presenting Jesus Christ as Creator. As Creator. He's all wise. All wise. The Lord created everything in order, and it all works. Quite refreshing, isn't it? I believe one leading automobile manufacturer now is having to recall millions and millions and millions of cars because it don't work. Nothing the Lord ever did had to be discarded because it wouldn't work. He established the circuitry of the heavens. He made and set all the thermostats and fired up the seasons. He beautified the earth with heating and air conditioning and then populated his earth with every kind of living thing and creature. Hallelujah. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a great Creator. He is wise. Not only that, but he's all powerful. Colossians 1:17, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "He is before all things, and by him all things consist." And that word "consist" means they're held together. Not only did he create everything, but he maintains that which he has created. He holds it and keeps it in its proper order and orbit and in its proper place. And it serves its proper designated occupation. He does that. Newton was sitting under a tree, sitting under a fruit tree. He was a little tired, and he was trying to catch a nap when an apple fell from a limb and popped him on the head. And Newton picked up the apple and looked at it and said, "Why did you have to fall down? Why couldn't you have fallen up?" And Shazam, he came up with gravity. You know how you spell gravity? G-O-D. God. God holds everything in place, my dear friends. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Christ held the cross up while he hung on it. Now you get hold of that one. He held it. He's all present. He's all present. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 22, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." Now, Brother Cozart, do we accept that literally, or is that a figure of speech? Honey, let me tell you what. It's either so or it's a lie. He sits on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. He is absolutely sovereign in all things. Daniel 4:35, He doeth according to His will, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? He made it the way He wanted it to be, and when He finished it, He saw it was very good. No one tells Him how to build, when to build, why to build, or where to build. He does it where He chooses, and in a way that's pleasing unto Him. And man, in all of his attempts toward wisdom, sits around trying to scratch his head and come up with natural explanations for this marvelous universe we live in and this earth we live on. It was supernaturally created by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's sovereign in all things. Not only is He the complete or competent builder, He's the complete builder. Complete builder. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. No Allah. No Mormon God. No Muslim God. No this kind of God. No that kind. There's only one God, and Jehovah is His name. He's the Lord. Always has been and always will be our Creator. He's the complete builder. In creation, the Lord did not bring in any subcontractors. There were no humans, there were no animals, there were no angels. Mama Nature did not exist. The Lord was alone before there was anything or anybody else. He is the complete builder. He is the consummate builder. The word consummate means supremely skilled and perfect. He is the perfect builder. Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. No blemishes and no do-overs. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a specialist in some areas. He is a perfectionist in all that He is and all that He does. He knows how to create, and He knows how to build. He built the earth. He built the universe. He did that. I was not there to help Him. Had I been there, I could not have helped Him anyway. You were not there. Before there was anything, while everything was nothing, He took nothing and made something out of it. He could just as easily have taken a little bit more nothing and made it larger than what it is. All God has to do to create is simply take nothing and make something out of it. He's the consummate builder. He built the earth and the universe. He built and is building His church. He said, upon this rock I will build My church. And nobody or nothing's going to stop Me from it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And every force imaginable is mounting up to try and snuff out the church today. And the message of Christianity today, and it cannot be done. He's the builder of the church. We're His workmanship, according to Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We've been created by Christ Jesus. He is the Creator. He built and is building the New Jerusalem. So what about the old one? My wife and I were talking about the old one and I mentioned her, I believe it was this morning early on. I said, you know, Brother Roloff was absolutely right. There's no such thing as Holy Land. He said, that's the reason I don't care a thing in the world about going over to the Holy Land. He said, it ain't holy. And it's not. There's more turmoil, more sin, more debauchery being committed in and around and over the so-called Holy Land. But I'm here to tell you today that there is a new Jerusalem, and man's not the builder of it. God is the builder. Christ Jesus is the builder of it. In Revelation chapter number 21, take a moment to look at it. Revelation chapter number 21. Verse number 10, John said, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. I believe it's just like John saw it. He said, I saw it, and it was the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. And he begins to describe that city. He said it had a great big wall high, and in that wall were 12 gates. And verse 14, he said the wall of the city also had 12 foundations. In verse 18, the building of the wall, it was of jasper. The city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. Verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Not that a pearl was embedded in the gate, but the gate itself was completely pearl. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Don't you see, dear friends, before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to go back into heaven, what is John 14 about? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He went away 2,000 years ago to build the new Jerusalem that John saw come down from God out of heaven. And he's building it. And it's absolutely beautiful. He's the consummate builder. The Creator is glorified in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 24 elders give praise unto Him. They say in that verse, Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, and they're talking about Christ. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For Thou hast created all things. Who said that? The 24 elders said it in Revelation 4:11. And for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So, dear ones, He is our Savior, and what a wonderful Savior He is. He is our friend, and what a wonderful friend we have in Jesus. But He is our Creator. Our minds must go back to not to a certain time 2,000 years ago, but back into eternity, that it pleased the Lord Jesus to create the heavens and the earth. And He did that. He is our Creator. Take a moment to turn to Psalm 148, and we'll be through in a second, or two, or ten. Psalm 148. Psalm 148. Look at verses 7 through 13. Psalm 148, verses 7 through 13. Praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons. You say, well, were there dragons? I guess there must have been. He's talking about the dragons need to praise the Lord. And all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Praise the Lord, mountains and all hills, and fruitful trees, and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maiden, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. I didn't see that till this morning. Let me share it with you. Not that His glory is above the earth in heaven. His glory is above the earth and heaven. We think of heaven as the finality, that point that you cannot go beyond. But God's glory extends beyond the earth and beyond the heavens. He's the Creator. Turn the page to Psalm 150. Verse 1 and following, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It has been my desire in this message to present Jesus Christ as God the Creator. I wish all of the universities and colleges and schools of higher learning would get hold of this and stop teaching some of the junk they're teaching our young people and get back to teaching the Word of God. And if you do not believe the Bible is the Word of God, my heart goes out to you. I feel sorry for you, my dear friends, for you're putting your whole entire life on something that may be here today, but it will be gone throughout eternity. But if you fix your soul and your faith on the Word of God, heaven and earth may pass away, but His Word will stand. Jesus Christ, He is my God. He is the Creator of all things. And surely we have a wonderful Savior that we have in Him. Christ as the Creator. Let me give this to you and I will close. Christ as the Creator. Put your mind to thinking on this. You need not take notes on this. You need not have to write down scriptures on this. I want you to listen to this. As the Creator, not as a Savior, not as a friend, not as a physician, not as a healer, but as the Creator, He is the glue of the galaxy. He is the radiance of the sun. He is the architect of the planets. He is the splendor of the moonbeams. He is the master of the Milky Way. He is the manager of all activity. He is the cause of creation. He is the choreographer of the stars. He is the infuser of life. He is the ruler over creation and Mother Nature. And He is Almighty God. And beside Him, there is no other. And His name shall be called Jesus. Jesus. Shall we pray?